Thank you, Denise, for just sharing your heart. And I just want to talk a little bit about, because Denise there was asking for something. And I want to ask you a question, really. Is when was the last time you asked God for something beyond your capability? When was the last time you asked God to intervene in your life when you didn't have any issues that you could deal with? When was the last time you expected God to move mountains in your life? And I just want to focus on that. And maybe as we're going through, just allow the Holy Spirit to begin to speak to you about what do I need to ask God for? Because sometimes we're so capable of running our lives that we forget to ask God for some of the basic things that he wants to give us. And the worship we've sang this morning just draws us into that place of recognizing his bigness. And I love that song, Waymaker. He's making a way. That's God's heart towards us. That's what he does. He makes a way. He wants to make a way for us to communicate with him and for us to actually be overcomers in the way that we live. To be those people who are victorious in every situation, even when it seems impossible. So what are you going to ask God for this morning? And at the end, we're going to pray together and we're going to ask God. Because there are things that are going on in our hearts and in our lives that we haven't got the answer to. But we want to include God. We want to ask God. So there's a bit of a challenge coming at the end. Well, it's not a challenge, actually. It's just, let's just ask God. You know, he's God. He's our Father. He wants us to ask. So that's where we're going this morning. So I want to talk around that topic. I have some notes that I'm going to follow. I don't know whether they make sense. Sometimes when you read your notes, you go, what's all that about? And I've written them. So let's just see where we go this morning. But we just have to trust that God will take us to that place through the Holy Spirit where he ministers to us, where he challenges us, where he reveals himself to us so that we feel that we can ask God for anything. Doesn't the Bible say ask anything in my name? That's quite a statement, isn't it? And we go, well, he can't mean that, can he? Well, it's in the word, so we do. But sometimes we dilute the word because we can't see how God is going to answer it. And so we restrict his ability, his power in our lives to actually bring transformation and change. So let's get going together. So I've written in my notes that we're all created differently. And we've all had different experiences in life that make us what we are today. And as we look back over our lives, we recognize the certain events that have shaped us in a particular way. And those things can be positive and they can be negative in our lives. Some of that work is going on the inside because physically, we can easily recognize that we tend to look like our parents. We just do, don't we? We look like our parents. So on the outside, we are created differently, but we are created genetically to be like our parents. And often people say to me, you look like your dad. And sometimes my mum will say to me, you're behaving like him as well. I don't know whether you ever get told that. But you know, behaviours tend to be learned. They're not inherent in us. We learn our behaviours, and those behaviours come from those who we spend our time with. And very often we'll hear, won't we, where somebody has grown up and then suddenly they get into the wrong group. And suddenly their behaviours begin to change from this boy was okay to this boy's causing a lot of trouble now because he's with the wrong people, he's with the wrong group. So our behaviours are very often influenced and directed by those from outside of us who are influencing the way we behave. And we get to a point in our lives in adulthood where we kind of made and we have a persona, we have a character that we use to get through life. This is me. This is how I cope with things. This is what I do to get things right. But the way others treat us, the way we spend our formative years and sometimes our adult years still shape our expectancy of what's going to happen with us and in us. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not very good at asking. I'm not. And I don't know whether this is a man thing, but when you go shopping and you can't find what you're looking for, do you ask? I don't. I go up and down the aisles, and it's here somewhere. It becomes a bit of a challenge in the end, doesn't it? I've got to find this thing. I'm not going to ask anybody where it is, even though they probably know. And they could probably make my life a lot easier and save me 20 minutes of my life. But I'm going to find it because it's become a challenge now. And so we do. We walk up and down the aisles because we don't want to ask. If we go shopping with Linda, she just asks straight away and it's sorted. It takes all the fun out of it, doesn't it? And sometimes it's like that when we're in our cars. And again, this might be a man thing, but we never ask anybody, how do we get there? We don't do it. It becomes a challenge to find this address we're going to without asking anybody because it demonstrates something of a weakness in us. And I've thought about this over many years and thought, why don't I ask? And this might resonate with you in the way that you are created, in the way that you are built and put together. So I'm stubborn. I don't want to ask anybody because I should know. It's a sign of weakness. It's a sign that really I should know this, but I don't know it, so I'm not going to ask anybody about it. I think I should know everything and be able to do everything. And sometimes I don't ask because I think I should know. Maybe you're like that. We can be embarrassed that we don't know, that we don't have a solution, that we don't know what to do, and so we don't ask. I think probably the overriding experience that we may all have is that we expect a negative response. We ask and we expect not to receive, but to receive a no. And that can become part of who we are, even in our relationship with God. Although the Bible is full of things that say, I'm your father, ask me, and I'll give, I'll make a way where there is no way, we still have a reluctance to ask because we think he's going to let us down here. He's going to let us down. And so we expect a negative response. And so that very much makes us an island, really. I'll do everything on my own terms. I'll deal with everything. I'll just get on with it. Even if I need some help, I'm not going to ask because I'm just going to get on with it. And that may sum you up. I don't know. It kind of resonates a little bit with me, and those of you who know me will recognize some of that. But then we can be people that ask for everything. Children ask for everything, don't they? They never stop asking. That's because they have a different view on life, because they expect every time they ask for something, they're going to get it. They do. It's just the way they are. Can I have this, Mum? Can I have that, Dad? No, we can't have that. Why not? Why can't I have it? But they have a different view on asking than we do when we've learned about some of the disappointments in life, where it's taken us to, and we've learned not to ask because we don't expect to receive. Whereas a child will ask because it always expects to receive. Jesus calls it a childlike faith, really. Come to me as a little child and just ask. But when we grow up, we forget what being a child is sometimes in faith terms, and we just try and do it ourselves. So my question is, when was the last time you asked God for something that was beyond your capability to achieve or receive? Let's read together Matthew 7. Is it there? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a snake. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, For this sums up the law and the prophets. It's quite a simple instruction, that, isn't it, from Jesus? Ask, knock, and it will be opened and you will receive. And he goes on to say, even you as humans, even you as natural parents, seek to do good things for your children. Even though you don't always get life right, even though you're not in that place that God is, we do the best we can for our children. So why am I any different? Ask the Father, seek, knock, so that you will receive. This is a real challenge for those around him to ask God for the things we need and the things he wants to give us. Sometimes we do ask for the wrong things, but God tells us. He tells us. Sometimes we don't receive, it says in Scripture, doesn't it? You don't receive because you're asking for the wrong things. And usually those are things that are not going to benefit us. But when we begin to ask for the right things, and that's why we have the Holy Spirit, because he guides us into that place, when we're asking for those things that are going to really minister to others around us, when we're going to allow God to change us, then he begins to answer. But ask. Some of the experiences that we've had in life impact our internal trust levels for our spiritual life. So we don't ask for the things that really we should be asking for. We would imagine that as we become Christians, that our trust in God should increase. But very often our past determines our relationship with God, and we need to be born again, really. Have our spirit renewed on a daily basis. We are new creations, and we've got to learn to live in our new creativity and not keep falling back to who we were before. I just want to read from Colossians. This is the New Living Translation. It may be different than what's up there. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he's brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. What an awesome scripture that is. But this morning, we stand before God, holy and blameless, without a single fault. That's what Scripture is telling us. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard God, the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. We've got to stand firm in who we are in God. And sometimes we need help to do that. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. We've got to stand firm. Don't drift away from it. And I think that the thing that we do most easily as believers is drift away. We don't hold on. We don't earnestly seek things from God. But our relationship with God is complete. I think that's what Paul is saying. Look, you are right with God. As a believer, you are right. And we have to live in this grace relationship with him. We're instructed by Jesus to ask and keep on asking as our dependency is on him. John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So he's underlining again our relationship. It's got to be one way, and we are totally trusting in God, where we are connected to him, where we are receiving all we need through him, because without him, we can do nothing. It shows us God's intention to give. The Lord's Prayer is a great prayer, isn't it? Our Father who art in heaven, give me, I'm asking, give me today my daily bread. Forgive me. And so we are asking. So if we just say the Lord's Prayer every day, we're actually expressing, we need God in our life today. Give me what I need, Lord. give it to me. This continues to create a dependency on God for everything, and it teaches us how to ask for the right things. If we stick to the Lord's Prayer, we'll be asking for the right things. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Let us see what you really like, God. Let us see heaven descend on earth. Let us see all those things that we read about. Let's see it every day in our daily living, in our church living. Let us see the kingdom of heaven come down and just absolutely amaze us. That's what God wants to do. But we've got to keep on asking. We can't, as I've expressed, we can think that God isn't interested in our needs. And that's a lie of the enemy, I can tell you that now. God is really interested in you. He's interested in everything that you need. He was interested enough to die for us, that we might have this relationship with him. But we can drift away. We can convince ourselves that God isn't interested in that. That's not a big enough need. That's only a small need, and therefore, I'll sort that out myself. I won't ask God for it. But we've got to learn to keep going back to God and asking, and asking, and keep on knocking. God is interested in everything we do and wants to provide everything we need for life and godliness. We talk about that regularly. He wants to be involved in our daily living, and he wants to demonstrate his love by answering our prayers, our asking. See, as a parent, our heart is to give to our children. That's what we want to do. We want to give them what we need. And the Bible kind of illustrates that. He calls himself the Father, doesn't he? And he wants to give to us what we need. But we've got to ask. We have to ask God into our lives right at the very start of this journey. Do you want to be saved? Then you've got to go, yes, I do. And we invite him into our lives. We ask God to come into our hearts and into our lives so that he can forgive us and we can begin this journey of faith, of transformation, of new creativity in him. But we've got to ask him in. He doesn't break into our lives. We've got to ask him in. And very often, as believers, we've got to continue asking him, because often he won't break in. He wants you to ask. And I've preached on this before, but very often when Jesus was living amongst the people, he was living amongst us, and he was performing miracles, and a blind man would stand before him, and Jesus would say, "What do you want?" Well, it's pretty obvious what he wanted. He wanted to be healed from his blindness. But he wanted this man to ask, be specific in what you want. "I want you to heal my eyes. I want to see again in the name of the Father." Bang, done. And so often God knows what we need because he's God. He knows what's going on in our lives, but he's waiting for the ask. Ask him. Ask anything in my name. One of the things that we talk about faith, we call it a faith journey, don't we? And very often we feel we haven't got enough faith to receive what God has got for us. I just want to encourage you this morning that you do have faith. God imparts faith the moment we are born again. In fact, he gives us the faith to believe the message, the good news. So we do have faith. It's just our responsibility to use it. And I understand what people are saying when they say, "I don't have enough faith." But I want to encourage you this morning that you do have faith. It might only be a little bit, but that's all we need, isn't it? And again, that's in the word. Mustard seed faith, we call it. A little bit of faith is enough to move a mountain. It's enough to see miraculous things happen. But we've still got to ask. We've still got to use it. In Joshua, I just want to use this to illustrate that we need something more than faith on occasions. Joshua 1 verse 6 says, "So this is Joshua, who's just taken over leadership of the children of Israel as they're going into the promised land. Moses has gone, he's died. And Joshua has been given this role of leading the nation. And this is right at the start of his journey into the promised land where God is speaking to him. And so we've got Joshua 1:6, Joshua 1:7, Joshua 1:9, and Joshua 1:18. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land. Joshua 1:7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the law of my servant that my servant Moses gave you. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command them, they will be put to death. Now, I'm not suggesting that we're going to do that. But he says, be strong and courageous. And sometimes we have to be courageous in asking God. We've got to be strong and courageous. We have to use our faith. And using faith sometimes takes us beyond our own ability, because it's faith. We're putting our trust in God. And we've got to use courage. We've got to do it. We've got to trust him. We've got to step outside our comfort zone, step out of the boat on occasion, because we like to know everything before we set off, don't we, as humans? It's part of our nature. If I do this, that's going to happen. But here we're putting our trust in God, and we've got to use courage, and we've got to be strong in our courage, because we're trusting our God. But when you read the word, it should be the easiest trust of all. But we do have a spiritual challenge as we begin to trust him. You'd imagine that Joshua, as he became the leader of the nation of Israel, who had experienced for 40 years the provision of God every morning, who'd experienced the miraculous of God throughout that 40 years, would have no issues of faith as they moved into the promised land. But clearly he did. Even as the leader who'd experienced all this, as he faced the next step of moving into the promised land, he needed the encouragement from God to be strong and courageous before he made the move. So has God promised you anything in your journey with him? What do you want from God? There is no limits on what we can ask for. The only rule is that we use faith. When did you last ask God for something beyond your reach? Remember that God loves you completely, wants you to thrive, but you have to ask, and you have to be strong and courageous as you ask. We're going to pray together. You know, we're really trying to take hold of something of God in our services and let him be God. We don't want to drift as a church. We don't want to drift as believers into just coming every Sunday morning and meeting together and going home without anything happening. Just pray that as we begin, we're going to sing Waymaker, please. I'm not going to, I mean, you can come out for prayer if you want. That's not an issue. But you can ask where you are. And as we worship, just allow the Holy Spirit just to prompt you once again. Those things that are deep inside, those things that you think, I'm not sure about whether it's possible. The Bible is full of the impossibilities of God when he encounters people. The impossible becomes possible only as God is allowed to be part of that, only as we ask God. So let's just, you can sit or you can stand, we can be relaxed. But just over this next 3 or 4 minutes, just ask God for those things where you need a way making. And the great thing about God is sometimes he's working in the background anyway. We just don't see it. And so let's just put our requests, let's put our asks before God as we worship. Thank you.